Thanks a lot. We'll be talking about yield responses of corn and some other systems to kind of the solar corridor that we've conducted over the several years in upstate Missouri. Now, the only research that I could find that was published on the solar corridor was the patent, okay? And so I dug up the patent that was filed in 2000, and it's entitled Plant Arrangement for improving crop yields, okay? And Leroy mentioned that only about 10% of the hybrids that were evaluated showed a yield advantage, and that the 60-inch row spacing provided more sunlight to individual plants compared to 30-inch rows, okay? Now, in the disclosure, there was one site that had yields ranging from 29 to about 227 bushel. The other 13 sites that were disclosed in the patent had yields greater than 189 bushel per acre. Now, in our region, we have 1 year and about five that reaches yield potentials of that level. And in about 2004, Leroy came to me and he said, you know, we need to be looking at yield response of this. And it was interesting. And I also have to note that the patent's only limited to single row configurations. So my objective today is just to summarize our research in upstate Missouri, evaluating crop production utilizing this solar corridor concept and row spacings. Now, we're going to look at some various work over the past several years. We'll first talk on hybrid row spacing interactions, or the lack thereof, in the studies that we evaluated. We'll talk on wide row corn comparisons. We'll also move over into narrow row corn comparisons that were initiated. There's a lot of push on twin row. Okay, we did a lot of work from 2003 to about 2005 evaluating twin row production, and we'll talk on row spacing comparisons, light interception, and then the concept of relay intercropping that always is brought up with this topic as well. And we'll talk on a little bit that had our 1 year that where we evaluated wheat corn intercropping, and then we did a lot of work evaluating wheat soybean intercropping. And I better check my time because I will skip over half of this if we get to running close on time. Okay, so in 2005, we started looking at 30-inch row corn. We also looked at 60-inch row corn, okay? So what kind of row population do we need to be evaluating in this 60-inch corn? So we were looking at 30,000 plants per acre in 30-inch rows, 15,000 in 60-inch rows. And this was on recommendation of Leroy on this design, okay? We started work looking at eight hybrids. Three of the eight hybrids were high-yielding hybrids we had a lot of experience with. The other five, I think Leroy solicited from different companies. And so there was a very diverse, probably germplasm, I would hope, among the hybrids that were evaluated. We were looking at 6019, 6362, Pioneer 33, P70, and you can read the rest of those. In 2005, we have yield along the vertical axis and our row spacing represented by the green and the yellow. We saw no significant difference in yield between the row spacings, okay? There was no hybrid interaction as well, okay? So when we're looking at improving crop yields with the system, we basically saw no difference. And you can note the yield potential of this area. Again, we're in kind of a lower yield environment than you typically see in East Central Illinois, okay? In 2006, we repeated this work. Again, we were seeing about a 45 bushel decrease with the 60-inch row spacing compared to the 30-inch row spacing. And so I guess at that point in time, I'd kind of buried this work. And anyway, it wasn't until being called earlier this spring, I thought, well, we'll give it one more shot in 2011, evaluating corn yield response to these different row spacings. I guess, before we get to that, in 2006, we also looked at light interception, or what I'm labeling light penetration. So a high number, you really want a high number means that more light penetrated the canopy. Okay, so we had 60-inch row spacings, okay, and we measured light at the soil surface, similar to some of the previous presentations. We also raised that light meter up to 1 meter above the soil surface, and then we went up to 2 meters above the soil surface. And we put the measurements right beside the corn row, and this was using the Dynamax system, so you could simultaneously take light interception at that point in time and above the canopy, so that it was a simultaneous measurement. So we moved at regular intervals away from the crop row, and you can see that we're seeing a significant amount of penetration even at the soil surface and between those rows. Now, in 2006, row orientation was east-west. Everything else that we evaluated was a north-south planting, whether that matters or not. So And then when we looked at 30-inch rows, okay, this is at the soil surface, okay, we're seeing much less light penetration to the soil surface when compared to the 30-inch rows, specifically as we move between those rows and even up to 1 meter above the soil surface, very little light penetrating at that point in time, too. Okay, all of those measurements are taking around silking. Usually, if we don't have full canopy development by that point in time, we may be losing yield. And then in 2011, we again compared 30-inch rows to the single rows. But we also added the twin row concept to that as well. Here's a twin row. 15,000 plants per acre, and then a twin row at 30,000 plants per acre. So this twin row at 30,000, basically you're planting the same number of plants per acre as you do with 30-inch rows. You're only using half the units to harvest this, so you've got a corn head that's only half of it's being utilized when it's out there in the field. So in 2011, we have, again, yield along the vertical axis. We have two hybrids that we included this year, this 6342 and then a 6254. Okay, the 6342 has a high yield potential in our area, and we see that really when we go to the 60-inch row spacing at 15,000 seeds per acre, we're seeing a significant yield reduction. We go to the twin row, we're seeing less of a yield difference. And then as we go to the same plant population, even on a 60-inch spacing, yields were similar, but no yield advantage by no means compared to the 30-inch at 30,000 seeds per acre. As we shift hybrids, again, that can become more dramatic of a difference as we move to that 6254. Now, a lot of this depends upon putting 2 years out, okay, that flex, okay, and that 6342 had good flex, the other hybrid had good flex as well, that's one of the things that's going to require time, and, screening the number of hybrids that would be necessary to fit into that, that type of system will be difficult, and we haven't, and the longevity of those hybrids also would be difficult as well to track. The other considerations we need to take into account would be fertilizer placement as well. You know, typically we're putting stuff on in the 30-inch centers. You'd need to put that onto a 5-foot center, probably to be more efficient at your fertilizer applications. Broadcast applications probably wouldn't be the most efficient with this type of row arrangement. The other thing is wildlife just love open canopies, and we have a lot of trees and a lot of areas that where wildlife are prevalent. And actually, we have that's going to be one of our largest pests as we, you know, there are fewer hunters and everything. We have raccoon problems and stuff like that. So we're going to have good populations out there to deal with the growing impact of wildlife on crop production in this region as well. So let's look back at the canopy development. You can see also we've opened that canopy up. You see that we're probably going to need another herbicide application in this type of system. We were putting a full rate of Bicep 2 Magnum. I actually had to come in and post that with a Roundup and a Callisto application. And then I still ended up with a fair amount of common water hemp, fall panicum, common cocklebur would love an environment like this. Shattercane would like it. Sunflower would like it too. So, you know, we'd probably have to increase our atrazine rates in this type of system to get the residual control or get something that would grow in that between those rows to compete. Okay, so that would be the other alternative. So, when it comes to herbicide resistance, we're seeing a lot of glyphosate-resistant water hemp in our region. We're going to have to rely upon control in corn to keep this weed in check. So, you know, this may open, you know, less of an opportunity for managing herbicide resistance if we just, you know, leave that canopy wide open. Okay. And these are non-competitive. I mean, they're late germinating. There's going to be a significant amount of seed production, but you know, we've done a lot of inter-row and between-row weed interference work, and at this point in time, that did not impact yield, I feel, at all. The other thing is erosion. We also have an area in that between those rows that we're on a tremendous amount of highly erodible land, and maintaining conservation compliance would be another consideration for farmers. And as we open that canopy up, are we going to be able to maintain good compliance and keep our farmers in compliance as well? So let's look at our 30-inch row corn. And, you know, we've got good canopy development, early canopy development, and when we talk about canopy development, a lot of that comes back to weed control, okay, trying to use that canopy to prevent latent emerging weeds from being a problem. And, you know, I would argue that the earlier we can get that canopy development or canopy closure, so to speak, the better off we are when it comes to managing weeds and reducing our pesticide applications accordingly. So in 2001, we also included a trial looking at there's some new drought-tolerant hybrids that are coming out. We actually looked at the 30-inch rows and 15-inch rows. Looks like a lot of promise when it comes to some drought-tolerant hybrids in this narrow system compared to even a wide-row 30-inch rows. Okay, and I really like a system that boosts that yield. You know, and that's, again, down to a 10% of the hybrids. And it's still challenging seed corn companies to evaluate, you know, what's going to be successful in these different row spacing considerations. And actually getting breeders to look at what works in different row spacing configurations as well. So let's look at twin row production. That's good. That's been one of the pushes as the twin rows can boost yields compared to 30-inch rows, where we don't have to utilize a new combine. We can use an existing machine. And we did a lot of row spacing comparisons from, like I said, about 2003 to about 2005. Looked at 15-inch corn, 22.5-inch corn, twin row corn, and then 30-inch row corn as well. Okay. Again, canopy closure is a big deal in this twin row concept with twin row corn, in trying to get that earlier or more light interception earlier in the year as well. And From work in 2002 and 2003, 9 to 10 weeks after planting, when we compared twin row corn to even 30-inch row corn, we really see no difference in light interception as we approach silking in that crop. Same thing when it comes to soybeans, but actually when we compare 7.5-inch beans, the top red line, compared to twin row beans down here at the blue green, and the 15-inch at the blue, really not a lot of differences in light interception. In fact, a little bit lower light interception at that point in time as well. So what I did was I took all of our twin row data over. We had, I think, about in corn 11 site years of work, and basically up here at the top we're looking at in where it's represented by a pink number, or on the right we see where there's an increase in yield compared to 30-inch row corn with our twin row corn. In the middle we have yields that are similar between the two row spacing, or light interception is similar. And then over here in the yellow we have actually yields with twin row systems that are less than, or light interception that's less than 30-inch row corn. So when we look at light interception, 3 of 11 or 4 of 9 site years, we actually seeing less light interception with the twin row system compared to 30-inch rows. And that's at the same plant population. Okay, and then it's similar at the rest of the site years. And then when we look at yields, we see at 12 of the 15 site years, yields are similar between twin and 30-inch rows, where we see yield reductions at 3 of the 15 site years. And then that's similar where we're comparing the same planter, or we're using a John Deere, it was a John Deere 7000 planter, similar yield differences there. Okay, soybeans, same kind of arrangement. When we're comparing different row spacings with twin rows, we did see that the twin rows intercepted more light compared to 22.5-inch row spacings, but they were similar to 7.5 and 15-inch rows. And then yields, at 4 of the 4 site years, we had yields that were about 4 bushel per acre less than the twin, or the twin rows were 4 bushels less than 7.5-inch row spacings, and half the time they were a little bit less than the 15-inch row spacings. Okay, so let's move to a relay intercrop system. So we'll be looking at 1 year of work where we looked at wide row wheat and corn intercropping. So that we had wheat planted in 7.5-inch rows. This is a typical wheat production system, or wheat row spacing as well. Okay, we have wheat missing 4 rows, okay, every 60 inches, and that way we can plant the 60-inch row corn into that arrangement. Okay, but we didn't plant any corn into it, and then we have wheat missing 4 rows and corn at 60-inch row spacings, and this is where we planted corn back into the wheat at a typical planting date for corn. Okay, in that design, we also had corn at 30 inches, we had corn at 60 inches, and then corn at 60 inches intercropped with wheat. So let's look at our wheat data. We have yield along the horizontal axis. Okay, 7.5-inch row wheat yields greater than wheat missing every four rows every 60 inches. And then as we put integrate corn into that system, we're seeing another reduction in yield with the corn as it's intercropped into the wheat in that system. Now, the other challenge with this is harvesting the wheat out of this. Okay, we ended up hand harvesting and cutting all of that out of that. Okay, so there's really no practical option at this point in time for getting the wheat out of this intercrop system of right here. So corn at 30 inches, again, yield potential. We had a pretty dry year that year, quite challenging. And you would think in this type of system we'd have more water conservation as well. Okay, here's 30-inch row corn as we go to a 60-inch row corn, and then 60-inch row corn with wheat. Again, significant reduction in yield. Again, we're probably seeing a lot of interplant competition, which is the weed at this point in time in that type of system. Okay. Now, it's been proposed last year that we utilize some sort of small harvester to get down between those rows. And we've done a lot of work evaluating rice in our region as well, and this would be kind of that type of harvester. The only challenge is the size of the hopper and the time that it would take to get down between those rows. I think it would be an option, but we'd have to have something that's efficient and has a little, we'd still be harvesting wheat out there if we started on a pretty good sized field at this point in time. So, I still have good time to go. We'll talk on relay intercropping, where we looked at wheat and soybeans. We did work from about 2004 to 06, or somewhere in that region, 03 to 05, evaluating relay intercropping of soybeans into wheat. Wheat is planted on 15-inch rows. Okay, this would kind of be a micro solar corridor there as well. Okay, typically we're in 7.5-inch rows on wheat. Okay, and with a relay intercropping system, you're planting the soybeans about the first part of April. You know, you want to get in there really early so you don't do a lot of damage to the wheat crop, yet you don't want the soybeans to grow too fast and compete with the wheat or clip the tops out of the soybeans as well. So there was some technology that was developed that it was coating these beans. It actually delayed germination of these beans compared to a non-coated bean. And it worked quite effectively at delaying germination. It would delay germination about 10 days. Okay, so that would end up with about a delay of 1 to 2 vegetative stages in development of the soybeans when we compare the coated beans to a non-coated bean. Okay, the only challenge was when in about mid to late June, okay, we'd see a fair amount of competition between the wheat and the soybeans at that point in time. And if it turned off dry, the beans really took a beating at that point in time as well. So we would actually go in and a system that really worked well was to use an application of glyphosate as a harvest aid on the wheat. But you had to be good at timing that, otherwise you actually would reduce yield, and you can reduce test weight from that application as well. Okay, but let's get into light interception of wheat. Here's our row spacings of the wheat. Okay, over the 3 years of this work, we have 7.5-inch row wheat. Here's 15-inch row wheat. 7.5-inch wheat out yields 15-inch row wheat. Now we did have a couple hybrid or varieties of wheat that we were evaluating in there. This Pioneer 25R37 had an excellent high yield potential, and this Ernie is a more public variety that's commonly used in the region. Okay. So we have a high yielding wheat variety, and then what I'll talk about is a low yielding wheat variety as well. When we look at wheat yields, okay, that was light interception wheat yields. We see that higher yielding wheats in 7.5-inch row are typically drilled wheat compared to 15-inch wheat, and then again wheat yield potential comes up to the Pioneer 25R37 followed by the Ernie and this AgriPro line as well. The reason we put the AgriPro in there was a Clearfield variety, and with Clearfield wheat, we'd have the opportunity for wheat control in there as well. And I'm going to wrap this up really quick. When it comes to gross margins or returns, we saw that double crop soybeans had yields and gross margins that were similar to our relay intercrop beans. But with the relay intercrop system, we had to utilize this seed coat technology. Otherwise, we dropped off our returns significantly. And we had to use a high-yielding wheat variety when compared to this low-yielding wheat variety to make it most cost-effective. Okay, so in summary, when we're looking at the solar corridor, I think that location. When you're in real estate, it's location. And we're not a location that looks like it works very well. It may be just the yield potential of the region or some other things there, but over, with a batting average of 300, that's great in baseball, but it isn't too good when it comes to crop production. Narrow corn, I think there's some opportunities when we're integrating drought-tolerant varieties in there. I think we have an opportunity for erosion loss. Maintaining our conservation compliance is a huge priority. We have an opportunity for for weeds coming in there as well. We're going to have to increase our herbicide use in a lot of sensitive watersheds where atrazine runoff is already a big concern. I hate to recommend more atrazine in those systems, and actually they're limited on the amount. Resistance management is a big deal. Early canopy closure when it comes to weed control is a big thing that we need to consider as well. And I think that's going. We have to get that when it comes to integrated weed management system. Management of the intercrop, fertilizer management, pest management, and harvest are all considerations that have to be practical and adoptable by our farmers. And finally, hybrid evaluation. What is the longevity of these hybrids anymore? By the time we get a hybrid that performs well and then the evaluation of those hybrids that would fit into such a system, it's probably on its way out. So they're going to be promoting reduced seeding rates, unless it's a public variety or something like that, and there aren't any of those, or there are very few of those programs even in existence. So, there's a lot of practical challenges we're facing, and I hope that, probably from the discussion that maybe those can be solved, but I'm going to wrap it up. So thanks a lot.
Thanks very much.